Let's go back to Acts 16 again. And we didn't get too far down in 16 with the last study we had. And we left off talking about the young Timothy. And Timothy had been mentioned before, and this is one reason why I started this study, because we were talking about going back and looking at some of the names that the Apostle Paul had gotten involved with on his way down through this thing after the conversion on the Damascus Road. And so we're still dealing with that. And I've got some more of them marked out in my Bible, but I ain't put them in the list yet. But we're probably going to talk about a couple more tonight. And so we're going to go to chapter 16, and we're going to pick up with verse 4, because we got down through, I think, 5 for sure. And but we'll go back to 4 and pick up with that there. And this was where, after Paul and them had met in Jerusalem, and they decided to go back to where they had the problems with Lystra and Derbe and the area of the around there, that whenever they made their first trip out. And so they came back and they got this letter that James and some of them had recommended that they would take with them, about circumcision and the three other things that were in the list that the Gentiles could do and wouldn't have to be bothered with the circumcision thing anymore. So, and so the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, was leading them to go back to other places, and some they could and some they could not, or weren't able to go to. And we're also going to pick up the writer of the book of Acts, where he includes himself in this thing, and that was the Luke, Dr. Luke. And so Dr. Luke is going to pick up with Paul, and is probably going to be with Paul a great amount of this time for one reason or the other. And I can't really explain all the reasons, but, you know, Paul had been stoned to death, and so I don't know how much work that Luke could do to Paul to get him looking well enough to get back in the traces of the yoke that God had put on Paul to do this work here. But anyway, evidently he got fixed up enough to where he was able enough to go around and do these things. And so the first thing we find in chapter 16 is, again, Timotheus or Timothy. And he hadn't been circumcised, and where Paul and them were planning to go, Paul felt that they needed to at least circumcise him before they go. So that way he couldn't say, well, he hasn't been circumcised, even though they had a letter now saying that he didn't have to be. So, but this was, I think, a lesson that Paul learned there, that he gave up his life for a little while to take care of that.
Well, it's akin to the vow that he took. He wasn't required to take that vow by the law because he was under the law. He did it to appease the Jews.
The Jews and the Israelites.
Same thing with circumcision.
Yeah. Okay, and so let's go back to verse 4 of chapter 16. And it says this, "And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that was ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem." So now they have the letter. Now they have something that they can show that where they went back to Jerusalem, which was basically
the official center
of what was going on in that day and time. And so it says, when they went through the cities, they delivered the four things, decrees, for to keep, to observe, or to guard. And that word in there was to keep, that was ordained, or to guard is phileso in the Greek. To keep, that means to observe or to guard, phileso. And of the things that were decided by those from Jerusalem. Okay, and it said in verse 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." We talked about that a little bit, and that's about as far as we got because we called it off there because I still got a lot to go through with, and the assemblies there were established in the Greek word for established there is stereo, like they all spoke with the same voice, if you will, because that's where we get our word, like stereo, meaning in many voices together. And in the faith and increased in the number daily. And I never thought about the word stereo being there used in that way, but that's how Acts is, and that's how we learn, and that's how we can go forward thinking about, well, yeah, if all this was done in a concert kind of a voice, then there wasn't any bad things to say about it because they had all agreed and basically in voice to go that way with it. And increase in number daily. And we've seen before where it said the churches or the assemblies had increased daily in number. You know, when you go back to Acts 5, it taught like, man, they was a great number at that time. You talk about Ananias and Sapphira and them losing their life because they come in with this money that they had sold all their possessions with, but they kept back a part of it. They didn't give it back to God, but they said they did. And they lied to the Holy Spirit, and of course Peter was the one there doing the talking at the time, and so they both lost their life because they had lied to God in the effect, and this was because the Jubilee year, you know, the things that they had been given by God was a gift to them. And it was supposed to be used for their use, but really to serve as a gift. And they just got together, decided within themselves they would tell the story. And I think we've all probably heard it before. But I think the woman had went out to shop or something, and they asked the husband about it, and he lied about it, and he fell dead. They got him up and took him out to bury him. And when she came back, they asked her the same question, and she told the same tale about it. And Peter said, well, the people that carry your husband out is going to take you out. And she went, and she fell dead.
Yep.
Because she had lied to the Holy Spirit. And that is a that is a real thing to kind of get your mind around a little bit, that you know, this is how important it was to the Lord and to God, the Father and the Son, as you know, to realize that this was being done in truth and in love rather than in a lie and in trying to hoard or to keep back some of what they, it was just like they didn't trust God to take care of them.
Yeah.
And so, and it said the church increased daily or day by day in those days. And so, we see that word crop up again in number daily. Verse 6, it says, and now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go preach the word in Asia. There's two words there that we need to be concerned about. One of them is the very first word there in the in this verse, and now, and the second one was in Asia. So, evidently, they had kind of made up their mind to take this trip and to go into the Asia of where Greece is. And they've gone down now to the regions down there to where Paul had been stoned to death, and from there they were going to have to take a ship ride. They couldn't walk that any further. They would have to do it by water. And so it said they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia because evidently they had made up their mind that that was where they had planned to go. But
that's a good point.
It wasn't where God had planned for them to go at that particular time.
And that's proof of how really close during the Acts they were being led and guided by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Yep.
Yeah. It was really, the walk then was really the walk of God. It was where God wanted them to go. And so when we look at 6, it said now or at this time, when they had gone throughout, the text reads, they went throughout the region of Galatia and the Galatian country, which was what we call Phrygia. to be exact, and that they were forbidden or hindered of the Holy Spirit to preach or speak the word, the Greek logos, in Asia. So evidently they were going to have to change where they were to go. And so this is part for the next three, four, five verses here. It was shows the change that they had to do in order to get back to where God wanted them to go. And it says, read Acts 2 and 8 through 13, and maybe a little more. That's my notes. So go back with me to Acts 2 for a minute. And we're going to go back to Acts 2, and we're going to look at Acts 2, and we're going to start at Acts 2, 8. And I think I've already changed my card here, yeah, about that. Because I went back and forth a few times. So, in 2:8 it says, talking about the people that spoke in his own tongue. And it says, and now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. And the list is pretty good. It says Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers at Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. See, they were some already had been taken off into Asia. So I wanted to make that clear too when I read this. And it says, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, oh, these men are full of new wine. They were drunk.
Yeah, they fixed to be drunk.
Drunk, yeah. But Peter straightened that out, and he spoke the words of Joel, the prophet that prophesied that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to go just part of another verse in verse 22. It says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So, we go back to realize that these men were hindered of the Holy Spirit to preach or speak the word, which is in the Greek logos, in Asia. So they had determined to go there. Now that was their determination. Okay? So let's go on down to 7 of chapter 16. And after they were come to Massa and Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
There again.
Okay, so they got down to the seacoast after they went to Derbe. As far as they could go that way, that's as far as Paul and them had got when he got stoned to death, and they turned around and went back. But they're back up to the jumping off place again. Okay, they're going to have to get on the ship to go somewhere. So, Paul has kind of got, I think he's got it in his mind to go into Asia. Evidently, Paul and Silas. It's Paul and Silas now. Not Paul and Barnabas, but Paul and Silas. But it said after or when they had come down to Massa, or over against Massa, they essayed, and the word essayed there is a medical term, if you will, and I give you another medical term we haven't really talked about Luke yet. But to assayed means to try or to take apart and look at each thing separately. Like if something happens to your car, or something happens to something in your house, and you don't really know what's wrong, but you know it's not working for you. Well, what you're really doing is a saying. You're trying to find out what the problem is. And that's the same way that the guys were doing with the searching for gold. You know, they'd get them a pan and get out in the streams, and they would get rid of all the big stuff and get down to the very fine stuff and look for the gold. And they call that assaying for gold, because the gold, while the earth was in the deep, had been swung around and around and around, and it had ground up the gold to where it was in a lot of the places in the world. And I think that gold at one time was part of God's precious ore that was going to be used rather than for the wealth of the world at the time. But it was in a situation that you didn't find it in generally in big clumps. You find it in fine stuff. It's like dust of the earth. It's been ground up. And so here we are. And so that's the reason we see the word assayed there. It means to try or to bring it down to its very constituent parts to find out what needs to be done. Well, I mentioned the last time that, well, if they're going to get in a ship, the captain of the ship runs the ship. But Paul is to preach to the people that he goes to see, and that's the deal of the Holy Spirit, to send Paul where he needs to go. So there has to be some conjunction with each other so they'll have a course to run on to where they're going to go and what they're going to do.
Yeah. It's almost like they're, do we go this way? No, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
They turn,
right.
Okay, we'll go this way.
Well, there's a point there
I think the Spirit was actually pointing and showing them where they need.
Allow them to go, yeah. Or at least was giving it to Paul that he could give it to the ship,
right.
Which we don't see here in the story, okay? I said we're attempting, and that the Greek is pirazo, to go to Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit suffered them not. And I got another thing there in my notes. It says, read the note of verse 7 in the Companion Bible. And so we'll do that. We'll read verse 7. Okay? And it says, and they were having, after they were, and that means having to go down to, the word kata is to the border of Mysa, and it's over against the sea, and they, saying we're attempting, and they were looking for how and what and where they were going to do all this. And here's my note in Bithynia. It said, the province of Bithynia and Pontus, lying on the southeastern shore of the Propontis, and this is Sea of Marmora, and the south shore of the Pontus, Euxinus, and that's the Black Sea. So you've got, they're looking at the different ways that, whenever they get in the water, where they're going to go. And it says the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, of Appendage 101:2-3, the text had of Jesus, but it was the same Spirit who sent Paul and Barnabas forth from Antioch in chapter 13, verses 2-4, and had already hindered Paul and Silas in verses 6-7. The Spirit promised by the Lord Jesus in 2:33, and in John 16:7, it said, and the Spirit promised by the Lord Jesus, and they were, he said, it suffered them not. And the not there is in the Greek, it's OU, or OU, appendage 105:1. And so, this is what, in verse 7, they were looking at, and what they were trying to assay all this information they had out down to where they could get started to go, where it was that the Lord was going to send them. Then we get down to verse 8. And it said, and they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. So the first place that they came to was Troas. Okay, let me read you the note there, and it says, and they, Paul's group, passed by, or sailed by, not entering Mysia, but they came down to Troas. And, so, this gives you a Troas here, and there's a note in Troas that says this. This is Alexandria Troas, because a lot of these towns had double names or used names, and it's kind of like when you look at it, you gotta figure out which one or where you're at there, because these people didn't really check with each other when they were naming their place that they were going to live in, I guess. And so in verse 9, there's an unusual verse here, and it's got a lot of questions still for me, even though we've been through it somewhat. But it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Well, it would seem to me that the vision, if it was going to appear, it should be in the light of day that you could see the entire thing. But the vision, I guess, was just to Paul, and he may have received it in a dream. I don't know.
May have, since it was at night. He may have been asleep.
I just added that or put that in to really give you a thought as to my thinking would be a daytime thing, but here it was in the night.
Yep.
Okay? And it said, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, let me ask you another question here. And think about it. Okay, Paul has seen this vision. It appeared to him at night, whether it's in a dream or whether it comes some other way. He said, there stood a man of Macedonia. How did he know? You tell me how he could look at somebody either in the night or even in the daytime and realize where he was from. Was it the way he was dressed? And it doesn't say he spoke or give any hint as of that, but yeah. Okay.
It's something that Paul told Luke
later on. Yeah, or I think the Holy Spirit made it clear in the writing of Luke.
Absolutely, no doubt about that.
Okay. So there stood a man of Macedonia. Man, I asked myself the question. I said, well, you know, we've got all these people that we read about in chapter 2. They were from every part of the world. They had been carried off into every part of the world. They dressed different in different parts of the world. How in the world would you know by his dress as to where he was from?
Yeah.
But that don't really make any difference, because we got the answer to it anyway.
Amen.
Okay. So, but this is how the Word of God is. And, you know, sometimes you don't get all the story in one verse of Scripture. You just can't do that. Let me read my notes. Any vision of Horama. Horama. It means to be seen. And it's from the Greek word horeo. Appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a tis, a man of Macedonia, and praying, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And And the Romans helped part of Greece in that day.
Oh, the Roman Empire did?
Yeah. We're still holding Greece in that particular aspect of it in that day. And so, it says, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Okay. And after he had seen the vision, in verse 10, or when he had seen or saw, in the Greek, the word saw is Adon, the vision, immediately. You see that little word there, we, W-E. This is the first time that Luke puts himself directly in the Acts of in the book of Acts. If you want to make a note of it in your Bible, I did. You can. It says, we endeavored. And so Dr. Luke includes himself now in the scripture, and he does it from now until 2 Timothy when he says, only Luke is with me. Oh my goodness. Assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us, we and us, is the entourage that's in the ship going in that direction for to preach the gospel unto them. Okay. Now, in verse 9,
Here's a $150,000 question for you.
Yeah.
Who is the man of Macedonia that Paul saw in the vision?
I'm fixing to. I'm fixing to raise the note. You got ahead of me. Okay, back to verse 9, it says this.
Sorry about that.
The vision, or the horama. It has been suggested that Paul had met Luke, and that it was he who was seen in the vision. So that might explain to you why he knew that Luke was in that part of the world at that time.
When I read 16:10, I tend to think it's somebody else other than Luke.
Well, might have been.
Because Luke said, after he saw the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia.
Yeah.
To find this person or group.
Yeah.
And so, if it was Luke, why would Luke go with them? I see what he's saying.
Well, the people that was writing these notes said, well, somewhere Paul and Luke probably had met, this is my take on this, that they had met somewhere, and that Luke had went one way and Paul had gone the other way. And so when the vision come clear to Paul, it looked like Luke.
Oh, okay.
And, or he had all the deal of Luke, and that the Holy Spirit could have made Paul to see who he wanted Paul to see.
Yeah, the Spirit was definitely going to take him to whoever this was.
Okay.
Because if the Spirit gives the vision, in the giving of the vision comes the, hey, you need to go see these people,
yeah,
this person.
Yeah. and take on whoever.
Here's your next assignment. It's kind of how that goes.
Yeah. So the assaying over there that they were doing just got them started.
Yeah.
Okay. The Holy Spirit is still directing them as to where they're going to.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they hadn't gotten very far. See, they had just went from they passed by Missa, didn't let them go to Bithynia, but they passed by and they come to Troas. So the next port there was Troas. And so verse 10 gives you, that should have probably been in parentheses and gives you the understanding that this is where they were going to go, because we get to verse 11, it says, therefore, or because of this, loosening from Troas, or raised anchor, we came with a straight course to Samothraca, and the next day to Neapolis. And so 11 there gives you the understanding they were gonna go there and evangelize whoever was there on their way, because they still got quite a little journey to go to get over to Asia, to the land of Asia, to do this. And it says in verse 11, therefore loosening or weighing the anchor from Perez, we came with a straight course, or we ran direct to Samothraca, and the next day to Neapolis. And it says, and read note in the CB on 11. It says loosening or raising anchor. They were going to evangelize them, and they came and ran direct. And the Greek word there is euthyderoa. I can't pronounce that. And it says they ran before the wind to Samothraca. And there's a note there that said the highest in elevation of the northern Aegean islands where they were, midway between Troas and Philippi. And next, and then to Neapolis, the harbor of Philippi, the distance was about 10 miles away. And it says, the first European soul trodden by Paul, and it had taken 2 days with a favorable wind to get there, to get where they were. And so we're getting down then to where we're going to talk about Philippi. And it says in Philippi, I'll just read a little bit of verse 12, and we'll pick it up there next time and go on. But it says, the scene of the decisive battle which ended the Roman Republic in 42 B.C., and it said it was the chief city and literally the first of the district, a city of Macedonia, a colony, Amphipolis had been the chief city and was still a rival of Philippi. And it was a colony that was Coana, Tolo Anna. Only there, a Roman military settlement. The word survived in the names of some places in England, such as Lincoln. These colonies were settlements of old soldiers and other established by Augustus to influence the native people. Hence the significance of verse 37, which is still in Acts 16, abiding, and the Greek word for to abide there is diatribo, diatribo. So this is the first, when they got to Philippi, this was the first soil trodden by Paul away from Israel, the native Israel. And so now he is far enough away that he is not with the continent upon which he grew up with. And he is gone through the part of the Black Sea and part of the Aegean Sea or the Sea of Marmora to get to where he was going to land on a place called Philippi there. And so they are finally going to get to Asia, but this was on the outskirts of Asia. And so they're going to get involved with the people there. And we'll learn some more about that. But we've run out of time, and so this is a good place to quit at verse 12. And I'll just read you my notes on that. It says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief country of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And so when you read the rest of verse 12, it says, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and I don't know exactly how many certain days is, but they were coming up on the feast of the first day of the Sabbath, and they had a group of days that they used, like we would say, well, we're going to have revival. We're going to have study of God's Word for a period of time. And so they're going to go there on the first Sabbath day, the first day of Sabbath, high holy days, as they call it. They're going to go out to the riverside and have a session with some of the women there, and that's pretty interesting, too, so we'll get with that, too. But I've got a few verses here left to do that I've already done, but we'll pick up with that on the next go-around.
Yeah, this is why this part of Acts is one of my favorite parts of it, because there's so much. The Spirit is just like driving them along.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is.
Guiding exactly where they need to go.
Yeah, amazing.
And that's like a man's walk, you know. And God says that man can walk two ways in the Old, especially in the Old Testament. And the two words were Halak and Yahwak. And Halak was like man wants to go on his own. And Yahwak is where God sends you through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
at the Godhead will send you.
Well, they kind of like that on the Christian's Greatest Need pamphlet we got over there. I've always liked the cover of that because it's got somebody, it shows somebody, a little picture of somebody standing there, and they're at a crossroads.
Yeah.
Or a fork in the road, and one side says my way, and the other side says God's way.
Yeah.
And like, I've come to the crossroads here. I've got to pick which way I'm going.
You
got
to go. Yeah. But that's with man been given a mind to do something. And he might find out when he starts that way he needs to go the other way.
Yeah, maybe I took the wrong
do the other thing.
Yeah.
So, thank you for being with us tonight. And I hope that you got a little something out of that little journey there. But that's the way that works. And sometimes we don't get all the full answers that we need to get, but we realize and we understand that God works through man to do his bidding, and he works through the Holy Spirit, and he works through his Son.
Amen.
To do this bidding. And if all that is in tune with each other, then it will work out perfectly in God's will and purpose.
Amen.
And so that's another lesson that we need to learn here that we hadn't talked very much about. But that's good thinking. So thank you for your time tonight, and hope that it was profitable to you. That when these men went off, they just didn't go willy nilly. They went.
With
they went where God was sending them. And Luke got a lot of this from Titus, according to the scriptures, according to some of these letters that have been written. And that Titus evidently was one that had come to this understanding of God a little early, and even though his letter shows up there that Paul wrote, but he wrote it to Titus's man, because Titus was a servant of this individual. And Paul says, you know, if he owes you anything, let me know, because he is a helper. He is a worker of God. And so that makes sense, because Dr. Luke may have not have been in the place, in all these places that he could have gotten all this thing, but he says to his friend writing the book of Luke, and also to Acts, that he did it to get everything put in order. And so whether it was him or whether it was Titus, God can use anybody at any time for these things that sometimes we just don't see and understand and think about.
Amen.
And so I'll just leave you with that thought. And may God bless you. And we'll, like Ronnie says, we'll see you Sunday if God's will.
Amen. Thanks, Pop.